Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 22nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 155, the first paragraph that begins with his call to the clergyman led him, and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Terry H., who will be reading the 12 steps, Leslie M. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Laura R., Dion R., and Kara L. The share ID for Tuesday, December 21st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 18,277, 18277. This morning's Wednesday, December 22nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 18,285, 18285. I'm sorry, I hit a button and it made me go bye-bye. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie W. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters. Can you hear me? I'm assuming you can hear me. Okay, thank you. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Terry. Terry, can you press star one to unmute?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, good. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry H., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Pensacola, Florida. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. And eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 11, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service on this beautiful sunny day. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Terry H. And Leslie M., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M. a compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service today.
And thank you, Leslie M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 155, the first paragraph that begins with his call to the clergyman led him. And good morning, Laura R. If you could get us started, please.
Great. Thank you so much, Kathleen. This is Laura R., gratefully recovered in Colorado. His call to the clergyman led him presently to a certain resident of the town who, though formerly able and respected, was then nearing the nadir of alcohol despair. It was the usual situation, home in jeopardy, wife ill, children distracted, bills in arrears, and standing damage. He had a desperate desire to stop, but saw no way out. For he had earnestly tried many avenues of escape, painfully aware of being somehow abnormal, the man did not fully realize what it meant to be an alcoholic. And then the asterisk refers us to the bottom of the page, which says, this refers to Bill's first visit with Dr. Bob. These men later became co-founders of AA's Bill's story opens the text of this book. Dr. Bob's heads the story section. So for starters, what this reminds me of is just what it says on working with others, top paragraph. First sentence, practical experience shows that nothing as intensive work with other, nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. Thank God Bill did that. You know, thank God that his sanity had returned and he decided that he would pick up the phone instead of going into the bar. That to me looks like, you know, he's recovered. The thought crossed his mind and yet he turned in a different direction, turned to service, picked up the phone, called a clergyman and ended up with Dr. Bob. And then as it says in the bottom of the page is that those two started, or two of the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they transmitted that. So we can also enjoy that for Overeaters Anonymous and be able to find a solution as well. But I can still relate to this this paragraph. You know, I heard it earlier said that nadir is the bottom, you know, just underneath where I'm at. And already Dr. Bob was in a place of despair, and that he was nearing going even farther down if Bill didn't reach out and talk to him about alcoholism. It also says he didn't understand what it meant to be an alcoholic. Neither did I. I will never forget when I finally understood. It took me two times because when I finally understood the difference, like I had an allergy of the body and obsession of the mind. That was one time. But when someone told me about the ingredients, because I always, you know, we were on diets or this, that, and the other, and like just like Bob, I've tried many imaginable remedies. But it was never about putting everything down that maybe had an alcoholic issue for me. And I didn't understand that. So, you know, if I was in a pay-in way, I would, you know, save my points to the nighttime so I can have a piece of chocolate, just one piece. I didn't realize I wasn't able to do that. And when I came into here and learned that there was the ingredient is what I needed to put down, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, that's what causes me to pick up is certain ingredients and behaviors. That was a huge, like that, along with I have an allergy that gets triggered if I eat those things, and I have a mental obsession that tells me that I don't have this issue, was huge for me. And once I learned that, and then realized that I had a spiritual malady and needed to find a spiritual solution, and that's why none of the other things worked, is that if I have a spiritual malady and I go outside myself to find the solution, that's the problem. It's not going to fix what's going on inside, but God can. And that, you know, it has been, you know, I was just thinking this morning about what my life was. I don't know. I always think 4 years ago, but I don't know if it was 4 or 5 when I first got here. It's, you know, I only have 7 months or so. So it's been a journey over the course of the 4 or 5 years I've been here. I just can't remember when I first came in, but my home was in jeopardy. You know, I was ill, you know, the children distracted. I was so not present with my kids. I was in so much anxiety, bill in arrears and standing damage. I mean, it was so unmanageable. And thank you very much. But I cannot believe what God has done for me today and where I am at today. And, you know, if you're new, keep coming back. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura R. in Colorado. Okay, we are on page 155. The first paragraph is called to the clergyman, led him. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this first paragraph, page 155?
Elena C.
Elena C.
Kara F.
Kara, is it S as in Sam, Kara, or F as in Frank?
T as in Tom, Kara. And F as in Frank.
Oh, okay, Tara. Sorry. I always do that.
Yep.
Sorry.
Sorry. Hiya, P.
Hiya, T.
P as in party.
P? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Who else would like to get in this? Dion R.
Melanie C.
Audrey M.P.
Audrey,
I'll share.
Okay, let's stop there. Okay, so I have Elena C., Tara F., Haya P., Dion R., Melanie C., and Audrey M.P. So go ahead, Elena. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so my name is Elena C., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Greenville, South Carolina. So I like this paragraph, and I am remembering that people usually say that if there are two people, that's a meeting, so a meeting of two people. So what is also good to hear and how Bill made a turnaround instead of going to the great crowd inside in the bar. He went to this clergyman who led him to Dr. Bob. And Dr. Bob was reaching his lowest point, the nadir, like the reader was saying, and had no idea about what the allergy of the body was. Like, he had a desire to stop, and he had no idea how to stop. He hadn't, because he lacked the knowledge of the physical allergy. And, you know, addiction is so puzzling. My addiction was puzzling like that, because I did not want to eat almost half, even more than half of the cake, you know, at the party, or three or four chocolates in a row, or I did not want to do that. Yet, you know, something, there was no way, I just couldn't stop. Like, my willpower was zero. And I woke up the next day, didn't eat a breakfast or lunch because I ate so much the day before. And then I was saying, well, I'm going to be fine. Everything is going to be good. And I can just do one more piece of chocolate next time, and I'll be fine. And that's just how it goes, the merry-go-round of addiction. So, you know, what Dr. Sokwar tells us in this book is so paramount. The allergy of the body explains why we have no willpower, and my willpower when it comes to sugar is zero, because my body is different than the rest of the people, and I will never be the same like the rest of the people. And I'm very grateful, because when I heard that, you know, I stopped blaming myself for it. And then it just clicked, it kind of, oh yeah, that makes sense. So, and from that point on, you know, I was able to get a sponsor and work on the steps. And today I stay, and by the grace of God, I stay in the 10, 11, 12 steps of recovery in the light of the Spirit. And I'm getting closer and closer and closer and more enlightened by every day when I stay in the 12 steps of recovery. And, you know, I don't have to tell everybody, like, what's happening to me. Not everybody will understand, because there's still a lot of stigma and unknown about food addiction, alcoholism, other addictions in this world. And that's sad. But I can just share my story with people who will understand. And I could also say at the party, look, I can't eat that. Because I choose to not eat sugar, and that's all I can say. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Elena C. in South Carolina. And Tara F., you're up, followed by Haya P. Good morning, Tara. Star one, Tara, to unmute.
Okay, can you hear me? Sorry.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Sorry. My name is Tara F., and I am a recovered compulsive eater. I'm really grateful to be on the line today. This is actually my first time sharing in this meeting, so I do feel nervous, a little awkward. But I'm extremely grateful. I've been in OA for almost a year now, but it's only been the last 31 days that I've actually been abstinent. It was about 31 days ago that the program actually clicked. You know, the entire last year, I thought I was, you know, applying the program. I've been, you know, daily contact with my sponsor, my prayers, my meditations. You know, but as the months progressed, I wasn't doing the meetings, haven't been reaching out to other members. And I had a breaking point about, you know, 31 days ago. I didn't realize, it wasn't until I started coming to Vision for You that I learned from hearing everybody else that the behaviors that I was, you know, engaging in, I didn't know, you know, they were still very compulsive. I was minding my calories, every single one that went in and every one that went out, and just controlling every aspect of, you know, physical exercise and food coming in. And anyways, I finally broke. I spoke with my sponsor, and I kind of purged, and I realized what it is that I needed to do. So I've been going to Vision for You every morning, and I've learned so much more of what the actual program means and what I need to do to really, you know, stay recovered. And especially these last 2 weeks, I've really learned from the readings and our studies the need to reach out to others and to work with others. And for whatever reason, I have such a hard time reaching out to others, even though that's what I know I need to feel that connection and to give back what's been given to me. Instead of just taking every day. And I think that's what, you know, in the reading, that's what Bill learned, you know, to give back, and that's how you're going to stay recovered. So I'm not going to go on and on. I'm very extremely grateful to be, you know, part of this program. A Vision for You has really made such a tremendous, tremendous difference. Your guys' stories, you know, has brought so much more clarity to what I need to do and what I want to do. So I'm open now and ready now to start sponsoring and just give back, finally give back and stop being so selfish. So with that, I'll pass. I appreciate everybody. Thank you.
And thank you, Tara F. And Haya P., you're up, followed by Dion R. Go ahead.
Hi. Haya. Thanks. Hi, everybody. This is Haya P. in Colorado. My name is spelled with a C, C-H-A-Y-A, but it's pronounced like you're saying hello. Thank you. Welcome to everybody who's new to this meeting. It's so good to be here. I really appreciate this paragraph. And what I really identified with was he had a desperate desire to stop but saw no way out, for he had earnestly tried many avenues of escape. And you know, what I learned is that lack of desire is not the issue. The requirement for membership is just a desire, but the requirement to recover is I got to get power. And a lack of power was my problem. And I think that's what it says. You know, the man did not fully realize what it meant to be alcoholic. That I am in a spiritual bind, in that I can't do this on my own volition. And maybe there could have been a point that talks about that early, you know, in more about alcoholism, that, you know, maybe early on I could have had some control, but not for me. And I don't know that I ever had any control, quite frankly, over it, or could have done it on my own. But this is my problem, lack of power. And that is exactly what this program gave me with the program of recovery in this book, and with a gentle and yet clear sponsor guiding me through really understanding what the problem is, what the solution is, and how to go about getting it, and then doing that. You know, I got access to power, and food is neutral, and I'm not restless, irritable, discontent, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, it's the description of powerlessness and unmanageability, right? It just desperate desire to stop, but saw no way out despite so many earnest attempts. And I'm just really grateful. And if anyone's new, I just encourage you to keep coming back and just know that there really is a solution here. And I'm just grateful to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Haya P. in Colorado. And Dion R., you're up, followed by Melanie C. Go ahead, Dion.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, my name is Dion R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. From this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, I'm looking at the second paragraph, the middle of that paragraph, probably that's just like the third sentence. was that he had a desperate desire, but saw no way out. For he had earnestly tried many avenues. That was me. That definitely was me. I felt hopeless. And it seemed to me that I was going to die a painful death. And when I was looking up that word Medea, it was like, okay, you know, I know they use those words back then. So I said, it says the lowest point, the bottom place and time of deepest depression. I can identify all those when I was in the food. And I would use the food to lift me out of depression. It did it for a minute, a second, a day, or whatever. Where I went deeper back into depression or whatever, because I wasn't dealing with the problem at hand, which was a spiritual malady. I had a spiritual malady that nobody else could fix, and to know that our co-founders, God used the co-founders to give us a solution and give me the solution so I could cheerfully pass it on to others, because it's a light got lit. Something got lit. My candle got lit, you know, and I was like, oh, this is real. I don't know how these steps managed to keep me from eating. That's all these years of trying so many avenues and diet clubs or whatever they call the weigh-in pays or whatever. I tried it all. I tried beating myself up emotionally. Thought I'd just call myself a bunch of names. You know, anything that worked, I thought would work, that worked for other people, it did not work for me. Only thing that worked for me was surrender to this program that my higher power, God, who I choose to call God, put in my pathway. And he put it in a path. He started with Bill and Bob. Yes, he did. And if I keep it simple and do like they did, you know, I find more and more solutions to even my everyday problems. I don't care what's going on. I can find my solution in this big book, and mainly because at least it helped me understand I have a malady, a disease. The doctor's opinion said, you have a disease, girl. Stay away from the first one and keep working the steps. Makes sense. You know, didn't make sense. It makes sense now. I live by it, and I will continue to live by these steps a day at a time. So thank you for allowing me to be a part of the solution, because without it, I would be in deep despair. And with that, I'll pass. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Dion R. in Ohio. And good morning, Melanie. You are up, followed by Audrey M.P.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Oregon. Identifying in what my particular experience might have been that was similar to Bill's when he was talking about in this paragraph, speaking with a clergyman. Mine was similar to that in that I had made a phone call to a particular kind of marathon that was happening up north from me, about 3 hours away. And the picture of what I was like at that particular time, I was almost 300 pounds and not well kept at all. I won't go into the details of that filth. And I was rarely leaving my home. If I did, I was in some sort of extreme panic, anxiety attacks and stuff to get back in. This disease had taken me to that place. And I had been introduced to Overeaters Anonymous in 1989. So it was 17 years in the food, in the rooms, in and out, basically, of the rooms. And that's the kind of space that I was in these rooms. I did not know what kind of shape I was in on the insides of these rooms. And when I went to this particular marathon, fellows were on the phone with me so I could drive up there, to even drive up there 3 hours away. And I saw something there that I'd never seen before in my life. And I just knew I was going to have something if I had the courage to speak. And it was almost like, I'm exaggerating this part, but it felt like it was almost the last moment with the last person in the room. And there were about 150 people at this marathon. And the lights were going to be turned out. And I finally got the courage to say, can you help me? I need some help. But the only thing that was in my mind is that I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get skinny. Oh my God, they're going to be able to save me and rescue me. They're going to do something with this brain of mine so I could function. I wasn't going to learn until later that it wasn't about my weight and it wasn't about my food. I was
as you can imagine, the picture that I painted, I was at another bottom, 17 years in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. And they explained to me, like Silkworth explained to Bill, yeah, I was a mess. And I was involved in a whole bunch of that mess that I was in. And I put every bite of food in my mouth that I did and functioned in the skill set that I had. But I was told that I had a condition that activated an allergy that I had no power and control over, no power and choice and control over. And from that day forward, from November 5th, 2005, I've not had to take a bite ever. And the disease has been addressed separately from the mentality that I had coming in here. And I'm real clear about what this disability is and how it needs to be treated. And this fellowship and my higher power bring me along each and every day. It is a jaw-dropping, phenomenal experience. Pass.
Right on the second. Thank you, Melanie C. from Oregon. And Audrey, before you start, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 155. That first paragraph is called to the clergyman. And I'll be taking some more names after Audrey. So go ahead, please, Audrey M.P.
Good morning. Oh, my gosh, today. Good morning, Team Wednesday. Thank you. And thank you to everybody that's shared before me. And welcome to the newcomers to the meeting. The answers are here. I have some of them. I don't have all of them, which keeps me coming back because I need to listen. I need to listen to compulsive overeaters that, you know, that have what I want. I have the desperate desire to stop. And to some of people that know me, know I have this desire. But and I feel like I have this everlasting. I believe in God. I believe in my higher power. I believe that he's in my ring. I believe he's got my back. I believe all those things. And when I had to get dressed for a wedding, I went to a wedding yesterday. I couldn't fit into much in my closet. And a friend invited me into her closet and she dressed me. And we talked about the way my body looked in certain dresses. And she was trying to hide, you know, she was trying to hide the parts that didn't look good. And I've been wearing this body my whole life. And I said, you know, I'm the fat girl. I'm the fat girl and I don't wear clothes where I want to not look like the fat girl because it's really clear in my cheeks right now that I have extra weight on. I have extra weight. I have three surgeries. I have a million reasons, right? I think of that song, a million reasons that I want to change it to somehow compulsive overeater words or something, maybe for the birthday party play. I don't know. But, you know, I'm talking to a fellow this morning. She's like, you're not, it's not for her to say, right? If I'm entirely abstinent or I'm not. And it's becoming really obvious to my friends. And I just feel like today could be the day. Like when do I entirely surrender? And when I hear the clarity, this jaw dropping clarity in my fellows, I just want that. And that's all I'm just going to have to pray for that today. Like every minute, I don't have time to be that devout. I have time to feel better in my body. I've got to make it. I've got to love myself enough. And as a low bottom bulimic for years of self-hatred, it is a mental twist. It is all of those things. And I'm just really grateful to be honest. Hope I'm not no TMI this morning. I'm grateful to be honest this morning and just to surrender my day and my food and my body over the care of God as I understand him. And I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Audrey M.P. Okay. Who else would like to share on this first paragraph on page 155 if you haven't shared in the last 3 days?
Juanice N.
Yes.
Anyone else like to share on this reading this morning?
Natasha H.
Natasha H. All you have to do is press star 1 to unmute and give us your name.
Betsy O.
Is that Betsy O?
Two S's.
Oh, Betsy O?
Yes.
Okay. We'll stop there with those three. So Juanice M, Natasha H, and Betsy O. So go ahead, please, Juanice.
Good morning. My name is Juanice, N as in Nancy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, and my name is spelled J-U-A-N-I-C-E. Okay. All right. The part where it says here that he didn't fully realize what it meant to be alcoholic is what I wanted to share about, because it has been absolutely eye-opening to me that I had no idea what the whole thing meant after being sober in Alcoholics Anonymous for 19 years. And then coming in here and finding out that with the food, which I do believe is my primary addiction, the food, with the food, that I was absolutely doomed is what it meant. As a compulsive overeater, I'm doomed. I'm going to eat myself to death, and there was absolutely nothing I could do to stop it. Nothing that I could do to stop it. I did not know that being a compulsive overeater meant that I was going to need a miracle. A miracle? What? That's something that's like fantasy, isn't it? I didn't know that I was going to have a miracle. I didn't know that I was going to have to be willing to go to any length to build a relationship with the God of my understanding. When they said he couldn't see a way out, there was no way I was going to see this as a way out. I just was not going to see this as a way out. That I was going to have to be willing to recreate my life on the inside, that I was going to have to spend each day in service to this God of my understanding. This just was not on my radar at all. And I'm just so grateful for this program that just continued to drive the solution into my head, that if I don't get in contact and begin to rely on and have this miracle first, this total psychic change, which is what I've had, which is how I know that what this is all about now, that I'm doomed. There's nothing, anything that's going to stop me from killing myself with food, nothing. And I'm just so grateful that today I know I'm on the path. I'm on the right side of this. You know, I didn't know that being a compulsive overeater meant that I was going to have to carry the message to other people and continue to sponsor. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Wow. How blind I was until I could finally see. And I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Juanice N. in California. And good morning, Natasha H. Go ahead, please, followed by Betsy O.
Hi, this is Natasha H. from San Diego, California. And I really enjoyed the reading this morning, and I'm grateful to be on the meeting. It's been a few years now that I've been in relapse, and I've drifted away from this solution. So I'm now committing to 90 and 90. And it's just so clear in this paragraph. I was underlining what I can relate to: children distracted, bills in arrears. And it's like this disease has, it doesn't stop, you know, and it's somehow I drifted away from the solution, which miraculously worked, you know, and I'm so excited to get into the steps again. Someone who I agreed, or who I had taken through the steps years ago, has agreed to go through the steps with me. And where it says he, Dr. Bob, you know, did not fully realize what it meant to be alcoholic, it's like I have this brain, this
it's abnormal. It's different from normal eaters, you know, and I am excited to get into step one again so I could really be fully aware, you know, to my innermost self what it means to be, you know, a food addict. And I just heard low bottom bulimic. It's like I've heard I just heard so many good things this morning. It's it doesn't stop, you know, and it's never going to get tired of me. I'm not going to miraculously wake up and have the power to do this myself. And it takes what it takes, you know, and the solution is much simpler than living in active addiction. And it's going to require me to show up to meetings, to reach out to other compulsive overeaters and food addicts, and to do this work and to get access to that power. And just knowing the solution, it's a relief. You know, I don't relate to, but I saw no way out, because I do see a way out and I have hope. And, but I did just come out of a treatment center. One more time, I thought I would try a different solution, and it doesn't work for me. I can't eat. Well, I needed to go there, but I can't eat like other people. I really need this spiritual solution. I need this threefold solution of body, mind, and spirit. And so I'm just really, really grateful everyone's here, and I'm going to listen for the rest of the meeting. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Natasha H. And Bessie O, you are up, and I can take a few more names after Bessie. We're on page 155, the first paragraph, his call to the clergyman. So go ahead, please, Bessie.
Hi, this is Bessie O from Colorado. Thank you for your service, and thank you, Laura, for getting things started and all the shares I've heard this morning. What's coming to mind for me is just the nearing the nadir of alcoholic despair, and then the usual situation, the home in jeopardy, wife ill, and children distracted, and bills. And I think one of the biggest barriers to me, staying in recovery is like this clinging to, or this turning back to this idea that like this not so bad Bessie, you know, maybe my nadir isn't so bad. And the truth is that it's, you know, we all have to reach our bottom, and it might look different, you know, on the outside, but in the inside it is just absolute misery. And you know, for me it was,
you guys be quiet.
It was reaching this point of, you know, just seeing how awful, you know, how awful the effects of my behavior
Ben.
Were on my my daughters, you know, these innocent children looked like coming home and just lashing out at them, you know, just lashing out at them about, you know, like normal teenage things, and just that. Spewing that all over my family. And so, you know, I guess the reason why I'm talking is because, you know, for me, it wasn't 300 pounds. But the truth is that if you're seriously alcoholic, which I am, I'm seriously, a hopeless compulsive overeater. I need to be on these meetings, you know, I need to be going to meetings regularly, like I heard today, talking to fellows, using the tools, working the 12 steps, and, you know, making that contact in prayer and meditation in the morning. I need it all, and I need it every single day. And, you know, I need to be reminded of where I've been and where this disease takes me, which is, you know, a hopeless place. And just, you know, I think one of the best things for me to cling to is just that vision of, you know, the innocent children. So anyway, I'm very grateful to be here and to have the opportunity to share. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Bessie O in Colorado. And I apologize, I thought it was muted when I was telling my dog to be quiet. Okay, we have time for another share. Would someone else like to share on this paragraph, the first paragraph on page 155?
Javelin E.
Okay, I heard two names. Was it Holly?
Holly.
Holly? Holly? Q?
Yeah.
Quad?
Yeah.
Okay, and who came in after Holly?
Davelin E.
Davelin E. Okay, and is it Holly or Polly?
It's Polly with a P.
Polly, okay, Polly. So if you could take, if you could both take about 2 minutes, that would be great. So go ahead, Polly Q.
Hi, I'm Polly Q from Northern California, gratefully recovered, and thank you very much for your service, moderator. I love this paragraph because it just describes me 17 years after coming into the program, white knuckling it until I couldn't anymore, you know, painfully aware of being abnormal. I just decided, you know, very quietly that I guess this was as good as it gets. And so I just started burning the house down, you know, just going on my way. And then a year and a half later, when everything was really falling apart in my life, falling apart. The same way it had originally, by the way, that brought me into another 12-step program, which led me to this one. And I was like, wow, I am, I'm just screwed. I'm screwed. I've tried everything. I've been in this program forever. I worked the steps 50 million times. And I'm screwed. I've broken my abstinence. There's just no hiding it anymore. There's no white knuckling. I'm out. And I remembered somebody, I didn't even remember who, telling me about this meeting. And I got on, and it's been 5 years recovered. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And I just couldn't. I can't tell you what a miracle that is. It's the same thing that's going on here. Bill's not from this place. He's not. He lives in New York. But this is Ohio, right? Anyway, they don't know each other. I mean, it is true that I had to just hit that meter. I had to. And thank God, because then I was ready to do anything and follow directions. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Polly Q in California. And Devin, if you want to just take a minute or two, that would be great. Thank you. Go ahead, Devin.
Thank you, Kathleen. My name is Davelin E. from Manitoba, Canada, presently in food hell in California with my father. And this paragraph just brought to me what God has given me in this last few days is the opportunity to recognize that his power is accessible to me. For the first time in my 7 years in OA, a real realization as I was going to pick up food yesterday in this food hell I'm in for a couple of weeks, the phone rang and somebody needed me. Someone in program needed something that I had to give them. And I thought, my God, thank you. This person didn't have a clue who I was. And someone sent them to me. And then later in the evening, as I was taking Dad his tea, and he was already into his snacks, and the whole place was just full of trigger foods for me. I've never been good at taking the pause. And God just gave me a deep breath, and I didn't even think it. I was just given the pause and sent straight to my journal to write to God. And I thought, oh, all these things that are happening, all these what I thought of as challenges and tests are opportunities for God to show me that his power is there for me. And with that, thank you for listening, and I will pass.
And thank you so much, Davelin E. in Canada. Okay, and thank you everyone who did service by sharing this morning. Really wonderful shares. Thank you so much. So we are going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. So Dion R., if you would please read A Vision for You.
Hi, I'm Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship is right with Him. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Namaste.